Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. I want to talk to you about work. Yes, that four-letter word, work. 2 Chronicles chapter number 2. Oh. And you know, sometimes you've got to do specific jobs to appreciate what other people go through. And I know that whenever my wife takes off time and goes out of town, everything falls apart. You just don't realize it. You don't realize. There was some joke years ago in the newspaper. It said wanted, a widower needs a taxi driver and a cook and a maid and it just listed like a dozen things and said or if you know somebody who'd like to marry me, you know, something like that. It was just 2 Chronicles chapter 2, you know, and you do, when you do somebody else's job, you begin to appreciate what they go through. You really can. And sometimes you know, you don't understand what it's like for those guys to be up on your roof until you've been up on your roof in a day like today or in your attic digging out insulation. You know, you start to appreciate it. 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 1. And Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and an house for his kingdom. There's something that Solomon wanted to do. Now, many times I've told you that the Bible covers every facet of life. Yes, every facet of life. Now, I understand the internet is not mentioned in the Bible, but sources of information and what you do with sources of information is in the Bible. And cars are not in the Bible, but transportation and the maintaining of transportation and how to manage it and those types of things is in the Bible. And the Bible has something to talk about in every aspect of your life. And yes, it talks widely and a lot about your daily work, your career. Your career. I often make the joke that, well, there's an entire book called the Book of Job. But that's not what that means. I know. Verse 5. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. Now, you can say to yourself, listen. I understand Solomon is building God's house, so it needs to be massive. It needs to be done expertly, you know what I'm saying? Unlike the jobs you and I do around the house, sometimes don't always line up. That's why caulk and joint compound and trim covereth a multitude of sin, you know, when it comes to home projects and wood putty and things of that nature. And you can say to yourself, well, of course, Solomon, hey, you know, you're building God's house. It has to be perfect. You got to give it your best. But, you know, I'm not building God's house. I'm not doing the temple thing. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just working. And then you fill in the blank. But, you know, the truth is, your career is part of what God has used to provide your family an income. And God has given you the ability to do your career. And He's given it to you specifically for His glory in many different ways. Okay? You know, when I ask you today, when I say work, when I say the word work, what comes to mind? What didn't get done today that you have to face tomorrow? What new thing you have to do tomorrow that you put off until tomorrow? What are some jobs you've done in the past? I personally have never worked fast food, but I worked at a commercial greenhouse that had 14 acres under plastic, and it was always 75 degrees year-round in there. And I've done all kinds of things. I've done roofing. I've done insulation. I've done all kinds of crazy, nutty things to make money. What have you done? And you think about the jobs you used to do. Maybe you are starting to have conversations with your kids and say, oh, listen, I know what it's like to do that. I've done that. But how a person approaches their work speaks a lot about them, right? Now, I want you to think about the people you work with or the people you've worked with in the past. There's work avoiders, right? There's work avoiders. There's people who go to great lengths to avoid work. I have children, and I give them grief all the time about this, but they go to great lengths to avoid having to work. And then there's guys like me that are workaholics that just live to work, love to work, get up out of bed in the morning and lean forward and go all day and then pass out. I mean, I'm a workaholic. I love to be doing something all the time. You also know successful workers, people who do it with excellence. And your opinion of that person and as a person, it matters, because when they do their job with excellence, you meet somebody who not only has an excellent spirit but does their job with excellence, you're You want to go back there again. You want to work alongside them. You want to, maybe it's a vendor. Maybe it's somebody that you're going to get your car fixed. Maybe it's somebody you're going to for a restaurant. If you meet somebody with an excellent spirit, with an excellent attitude, you know what I'm saying, and does their job with excellence, you go back and you think about it. And it reflects upon them. You know, work is not part of the curse that God gave. Take your Bible, go to Genesis. Work was always something God intended for us to do. Look at Genesis 1 and verse number 26. The Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and every living thing that move upon the earth." God gave him a job to do. God had a purpose in mind for Adam. And for the human race, we're to populate the earth, yes, but we're also to subdue it. We're to bring order and have dominion over the animal kingdom. We were to cultivate the garden to prepare for fruits and vegetables and herbs for eating. Look at chapter 2 and verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And it goes on about, he had an assignment for him. And he was to do it. Look at Genesis 3. "Now it is true that sin entered the world and it became part of that, our work got cursed, not work being a curse." Look at Genesis 3, then verse 16. Unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply their sorrow in thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thine life. Thorns and also thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken." You understand, work is not part of the curse, although it got cursed, and working can be difficult. But we must understand what our work is and how it fits into our purpose in God's kingdom. Take your Bible, go to Colossians chapter 3, all the way in the New Testament. Colossians, it's after Ephesians, and it's after Philippians. You will find Colossians chapter number 3. Look at it now. Colossians chapter number 3. Maybe you think that the job you're doing right now is part of God's curse, but it's not. It's just been work in general has gotten difficult. Colossians 3:1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." And he goes on to talk about these things, about our walk and our lifestyle. And verse number 17, he says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Your work, what you do, ought to be done with such excellence you could sign Jesus' name to it, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, this command is not limited to our ministry. We must see our vocation, our daily vocation, as part of our Christian service. We can find fulfillment in our vocation as long as it's so that we can do the will of God. Look at Colossians 3 and verse number 23. "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord." I realize that you do not work for you, the guy you answer to, and everybody answers to somebody, that person can't walk on water. I get that. I get the fact that the person you answer to, the person you call boss, was not virgin born. I get that. They're just a sinner just like you and I. But you and I are to approach our daily work as if it was the Lord Jesus Christ who was commanding us. Why? Because what they think of us and how we behave ourselves on the job is how they think of Jesus. do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes the person you're working for is just not worth it. But Jesus says, knowing that of the Lord, not always from the guy you work for, but of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You're actually working for Jesus. As you bring excellence to what you do, you bring glory to God. And God, people will want to know. People will want to know the God you say you love. So why work? Well, one of the reasons we work is to serve the Lord. Take your Bible and go to 1 Peter 1:1. This is an interesting concept. I hope this will ring true and ring home to you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Look what it says. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Scattered. Like sown grain. Just like we plant seeds, we expect them to bear fruit, and take root and bear fruit. You know, God knows where you work. God knows why you're there. God is providing an income for you and your family through that job. But you're not misplaced there. God has put you there so that you can be a witness there. You know, when you think about it, how will our complaining and belly aching to our coworkers affect our testimony as a Christian? And as I said, it is also to support your family. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. How's that? Working not at all, but are busybodies. I had a friend, Gary Schmick. He's such a wild card. I said, he was in the Navy for 4 years. I said, what'd you do, brother? He said, man, I had a job, but it was maintenance. And I said, so what'd you do? He said, I had a cup of coffee in one hand and a wet paintbrush in the other. And everybody figured I was on my way to the job or just taking a break from the job, and nobody messed with me all day long. That wasn't really why God put you in the Navy. Verse 12, now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. You know, there's a difference between people who cannot work and they will not work. Do you understand? God has you there for a reason. You're not just there you're there to earn a living. God is actually feeding your babies by giving you this career. That's what he's doing. He's clothing your babies. He's giving your babies a roof to in there. But you're also there to serve him as a witness and to support the Lord's work. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, he provides you an income so you can help support the work of the ministry of expanding the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. It's talking about giving. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1, verse 2, he says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, that's your tithes, as God hath prospered him. If you don't have an income, you don't have any tithes. You don't own God any tithes. As God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. You know, God does give us an income, yes, to take care of our families, but also it's a place to be a witness and a testimony to him, but it's also so we can have money to give toward his ministries. We're also to share with others. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 28. Ephesians 4 and verse 28. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Do you got friends that are hurting right now financially? You know, this area, I know the job market's open. I mean, there's not enough workers. I mean, seriously, I get so frustrated with our garbage collectors. I'm thinking about Sam and I going and buying a garbage truck and just, you know what I mean? Take over our area and say, you can just pay us, we'll get it done. I drive down Jeff Todd and I think to myself, who gets paid thousands of dollars to mow that thing? I got a light rider, I'll just put Sam out there, buddy. And I'm like, come on now, right? People just like, well, it doesn't need to be. Well, you know, I did, for some reason. But I got friends in other states, though, that I'm very concerned about. One of them just lost his job, and I'm concerned about it. And I know that God, I've asked God to give me extra this month so that I can send it to him. You know, one of the reasons why you give an income is so that you can provide for your babies and your family. Another reason why God has you there, so you can be a witness and a testimony by doing it with excellence. Number three, you're there so that you can give to his ministries. Number four, God gives so that you can give to others. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John all the way in the back of the book. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 17 and 18. You know, one of the greatest, back when I was between churches, one of the things that you may not know is that pastors don't get unemployment. And when you're no longer the pastor, the check stopped coming. That's how it is, buddy. And when I was between churches and times were lean, I had folks that just drop a check in the mail and say, listen, we love you. You know, it's God proving to me that he's going to take care of me. That's how, when I showed up here 9 years ago and the ad didn't say it was a full-time position, I didn't care because I knew God was going to take care of me. We didn't talk salary, did we? We didn't talk salary the whole time I was here visiting. Why? Because it didn't matter. If God wants me here, God's going to take care of me. And wherever God guides, he provides. Now, if you get outside of God's guidance and you take matters into your own hands and you step outside of God's umbrella, God is not honor bound to bless your mess. Okay? If you're in disobedience, like the prodigal son, you'll find yourself in the hog pen and you'll be so hungry you'll eat the garbage that the hogs will eat. That's just life. But if you're in the will of God, you know, the Bible says in Isaiah 50 and verse 10, let him, who is he among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? You're obeying the preacher and you're obeying the word, but you still find yourself in a mess. You know what? Just trust in the Lord. He never let me miss anything I needed. And that sometimes God has to put you there to teach you. And sometimes God will use your brethren giving to you to teach you that God can and God will. And God may use you to teach another brother whose faith is running a little thin. Hey, here's $300 in a card. I love you. And it'll build them to the point where they'll charge hell with a squirt gun because they believe God can and God will. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, but whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother hath need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelt the love of God in him? How is that? You're stingy. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You're in 1 John, just go back toward the front a couple pages, James chapter 2, verse 15, James chapter 2. God gives you an income also so you can share with others who are hurting. If thy brother or sister be naked and destitute of thy daily food, and one of you say, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. That's kind of like a blessing. That's kind of like a blessing, you would say, a normal blessing, but it's almost the opposite of saying, so how are you? But I really don't want you to tell me. you get what I'm saying? People say, how you doing today? And you think to yourself, do you really want to know, or are you just asking? You're just saying hi, huh? If all you do is give them a cliche, but you don't do anything to meet their needs, how is that? How is that something? How does that profit them? Now, so God gives you an income so you can provide for your family. God gives you an income so you can serve him there and be a witness. God gives you an income so that and a place to work so that you can support the Lord's work and share with others. And this may make you cringe, but the Lord also gives you an income so you can support the government. Let's talk about that for a second. Aren't you thankful that the fire department is staffed and manned? Aren't you thankful that the police are there when you need them? Aren't you thankful that the ambulance is there when you need them? Aren't you thankful that our military is active and the most powerful in the world? Where do you think that comes from? God did that. Why? He did that through us. Christ affirmed it, Luke 20 and verse 25, render therefore unto Caesar the things that belong to be Caesar. Paul affirmed it in Romans 13. Peter affirmed it that we would be a witness Even if we were being persecuted by our government for doing right, we would be a good witness. So Solomon, as I said back in 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 1, Solomon was gearing up for a big, big job. And his attitude was going to affect the way it worked. And the way he did it was going to affect this, the way it worked out and the size of the project he was taking on. So Solomon has a lot to say about work. So look at Ecclesiastes. Take your Bible, go to the middle of the Bible, just to the right of dead center, and you find the book of Proverbs and then Ecclesiastes. This is the book that this is also a book that Solomon wrote. So he says, if you want to be a success in your career, be used of God in a great way to provide for God, for your babies, to provide for God's ministry, to provide for friends who are in need, to provide for our government and our tax needs. Number one, work enthusiastically. Look at Ecclesiastes 9:10. The Bible says, whatsoever, do you see that? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. You only get one shot at this life. Do it right. Do it well. David said in 2 Samuel 24:24, I'm not going to offer to God something that doesn't cost me nothing. I'm not going to give God coupons. I'm going to pay my vows. I'm going to do it. We're to do it with all our might. Back in 2 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 19 to 22, Solomon tells them to give their entire heart to the ministry, to the ministry of building. So put your heart in it. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Do it for God. Colossians 3:22, serve and obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but singleness of heart, fearing God. Not only work enthusiastically, work with integrity. Look at Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1. Work with integrity. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death better than the day of one's birth. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. In 1 Corinthians 3, it says, the work that you do will come to light. It will be recognized, whether here or in heaven. But it also says in Numbers 32:23, your lack of integrity will also come to light. Your integrity proves itself. That's why Jesus says that wisdom is justified of her children, Luke 7:35. In Proverbs 22:29, I want you to hear what this says. I love this. It says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. If you are diligent in the work that you do for the glory of God, you'll stand before kings. You will be recognized. So work enthusiastically. Work with integrity. Number three, work skillfully. Do beautiful work. Look at 1 Kings 7. 1 Kings 7. And some of this may not make sense, but I'll read it. Anywho, because it's an interesting study. In 1 Kings chapter number 7 and verse 15, it says, for he cast two pillars of brass of 18 cubits high apiece. And it goes on and on. And this is something, Solomon got the best guys to do the work. And I'm trying to think, his name, I think it's Ornan, it's a different guy, it'll come up, the name will come up in a minute in the message. But it says, he cast two pillars of brass of 18 cubits high, and a line of 12 cubits did compass either of them about. And he made two chapiters of molten glass, or brass, to set atop the pillars. The height of one chapiter, 5 cubits, and the height of the other was 5 cubits. And the nets of checkered work and wreaths of chains gold, or chain work for the chapiters which were upon the top of the pillar, 7 for the one chapter, and 7. And it just goes on to talk about all the things he did. And then it mentions the lily work. Now you understand, these pillars are some 30 feet high. And the very top of it is the shape of a flower that is 5 cubits. So that'd be almost 7 feet. So these things are 37 feet in the air. And the beautiful embossing of the lilies. Who's going to see that 37 feet in the air? Only God. the name of the artificer and artisan will come up in a minute. I wrote it down in next to another verse, but what was his name? Huram. Huram did all this extra detail work at the very top of the pillars in the house of God that no one would ever see but God. You do need to work skillfully. Whether nobody else recognizes it, God sees it. So put your heart in it. Have integrity. Be skillful. And listen, you don't have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer. You need to sharpen the axe. Look at Ecclesiastes 10:10. Always be improving. Look at Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. You need to sharpen the axe from time to time. You need to take your vacation time. You need to read a book every now and again. You need to learn a new skill. You need to run with somebody who's better at it than you are. And you need to ask questions. Every time you travel for your company and you're around colleagues who do the same kind of work, you need to have a question in mind, especially if it's somebody who's of higher rank. You need to have a question in your mind to ask when you get there. You're missing an opportunity to sharpen the axe when you're around people that have been doing it longer and better than you have. It surprises me when I go places. It's not that I think I'm so smart. It's just the fact that if I've been doing it three times as long as you are, maybe you ought to ask me a question, because I'll tell you what I'm doing when I get there. I'm asking people questions because I don't have it all figured out just yet. It's more art than science a lot of time. And help, ask for help when you're weak. Be skillful. Ask for help when you're weak in the areas you're weak, and always be improving. But even then, you need to swing harder. And Ecclesiastes 10:10, he says that if you don't wet the edge, you got to put more strength there too. So swing harder. I'm trying. Swing harder. Swing harder. Not everything is going to come easy. You know, in Hebrews 12:4, it says you've not striven unto blood. That means you're resistant unto blood. It means you haven't done everything within your power yet. Show up early. Stay late. Read extra on your own time. Put more strength in. Read another book. Watch another tutorial. Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks, Proverbs 27:23. Know what's going on in the jobs and in the things you're doing. You know, when a football team is looking for a new quarterback, they'll find two or three that are suitable. But what makes them different, though? They're all professionals. They're all really good at what they do, or they wouldn't be a pro quarterback. So what makes them great? Desire. One of them wants it more than the other. And when it comes right down to it, brothers and sisters, how bad do you and I want God's glory where we work? So work enthusiastically. Work skillfully. Work officially. Be smart. Manage your time. That's where the Bible says in Ephesians 5, see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, making it good. Why? Because the days are evil. Are you managing your time well? Well, wanting to play first and then just try to get it all done at the end is not integrity. Do the job you hate the worst, hate the most first. Get it out of the way. Then do the next, and your day will get better. Do the one that needs to be done first, and then play later. Work cooperatively, involve others. Take your Bible, look at Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9. The Bible says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Yeah, but if I involve other people, they'll get part of the credit. So that's all you're really interested in is. The Bible says you got your reward then. You're not going to get any reward in heaven for it. If that's all you were seeking, no one will ever remember you did it in heaven because you sought your reward here. Two are better than one because if they have a good reward for their labor, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not help to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? Life is a journey. You need to take somebody along with you. You're right, sister. Here it is in my notes, 2 Chronicles 2:3. And Solomon sent to Huram, the king of Tyre, saying, as thou dealtst with my father, and didst send him cedars to build an house to dwell in, so even so deal with me. It was a partnership between Solomon and Huram that got all the materials together. And then Hiram sent talented people. In 2 Chronicles 2:7, send me now therefore a man cunning in work of in gold and in silver and in brass and in iron and purple and crimson and blue, and that can skill grave with the cunning men that are with me in Judah and Jerusalem, whom David my father did provide. It's interesting. You really can bring excellence no matter where you work. And it really will glorify God. And if you're doing it for the right with the right attitude for the right reason, God will never forget. We're also to work persistently. Look at Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 6. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 6. The Bible says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Plant all the seeds, work persistently. Some of your efforts are going to pay off big, but a small percentage, but the majority won't. It's the small percentage that does. 10% of oil wells produce. 40% of baseball players make it to first. 60% of the basketball players hit the bucket. And if at first you don't succeed, welcome to the human race. You know, work persistently. Stay at it. Do excellence. Do it well. Why? Because not everything you do is going to pay off. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, is what my mother used to say. And don't quit. Look at Ecclesiastes 9:4. Don't quit. Ecclesiastes 9:4. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. As long as you're alive, there's hope. Look at that next phrase. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. In Galatians 6:9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. How a person approaches their work says a lot about them, but also about their Christianity. So work enthusiastically. Work with integrity. Work skillfully and efficiently. Work cooperatively. Work persistently. And you shall be not only rewarded by the Lord, but because you brought him glory, but it'll be remembered for eternity because you did it for him and his glory and not yours. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Work is not the curse. Our work has been cursed, but it's still our assigned duty. Heavenly Father, we love you. In the next few moments, some of the things I've talked about have brought up scenarios in the minds of each one of us. Situations at work that are being dealt with right now. Situations that may have gone differently had we enacted one of these principles in the week prior. But now, Father, we are all facing the results of next week, of today's efforts next week. So let us be mindful today. Remind us today, God, where we need to do excellently, to work persistently. How not to be afraid to share the credit, because it's more important that you get the credit than us. And Father, tonight, maybe there's someone here that is just weary because the environment they work in is just toxic. I pray, God, you'd strengthen them, renew their spirit, reinvigorate their resolve for your glory. And as we pray tonight, I ask, God, that you'd speak to every heart and soul. And if there's one among us that's lost, may they come and trust Christ as their personal Savior tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as music plays, the altar's open. If you died tonight, are you sure you'd go to heaven? We're all sinners. And because we're sinners, we deserve to die and go to hell. But Jesus went to the cross and had paid the penalty for all of our past, present, and future sin. And tonight, if you'll just repent and call upon him, he'll save you. But the majority of us here, I know your testimony. Does your testimony at work line up with your testimony at church? You've been saved, but have you been baptized scripturally by immersion? Baptism is the door to the church. It publicly identifies us with Christ and with his teaching. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And we are truly thankful because, God, we live and move and have our being in you. We are able to do anything because of you. And so tonight, God, as we reevaluate sometimes our life and look at our choice and career, Father, remind us that you have a say, and let us seek your face as we look for any change. Or sometimes, God, we face problems in our career. Sometimes we face struggles. We don't know which way to turn, God, but you have the answer, so speak. You know more about our job, so much more about our job than we do. Let us not forget to be in prayer each day. Father, help us as we are your servants. May you glorify yourself in us, that others may see you and come to know you as Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.